Well, a very good evening and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry live from our studio. And we're back here in Tralee again with myself, Donal Barron. We'll be here until 8 o'clock this evening. And of course, after last week's wonderful and historic occasion from the Glebe Car Park in Killarney, it's back to football and hurling this evening as we look back at the weekend's action from the Kerry Petroleum Club Championships, with 12 teams exiting, I suppose, the senior and intermediate championships over the weekend for 2024 anyway. Now, John and Liam will be on to give us their views on what they saw over the weekend. And we have the draw of the Garvey's Super Value Senior Football Championship, which takes place in Garvey's in Listowel around 6:30 this evening. And we'll be checking in with Kerry JPRO Emma Sweeney for that. And in the second hour, we have a detailed look back at the Garvey's Senior Hurling Championship that has passed. That'll be during the winners, of course. James and Richard will reveal their Terrace Talk team of the championship. And after that, we will, I suppose it's becoming a tradition to chat with the winners. And Abby Dorney collected their title after a 50-year wait, and what an exciting end of a show that will be to get the thoughts and the views. And hopefully they're still standing straight with, without too many bruises and battle hard and the whole lot. But it's Abby Dorney from about maybe 7:20 there this evening, and we'll have a little bit more, of course, on the show as well. And you can be part of the show as well if you want to. You can call or text, the usual numbers apply. Ivan is sitting inside more relaxed this week. We lost him in the crowd last week with about 10,000 people in the Glebe Car Park. It's easy to see in the studio, himself and Keane taking up their match positions. 066 712 3666, or you can text us or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. That's all the housekeeping out of the way. Now, only four teams can win the Senior Club Championship, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andrew Moynihan along with John and Liam. Four teams left, Andrew.
Four teams left, Donald. Yeah, senior intermediate group stages conclude, and we have our semi-finals anyway in the senior. Dingle facing Kinmare, that's next Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, and you have Rathmore versus Dr. Crokes on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Probably the four best teams left, it has to be said. And I mean, what tasty semi-finals you have there. You have a repeat of last year's final. That'll there definitely be revenge on the cards for Kinmare, and the strength of Dingle that they've shown so far, really tasty affair. As for Rathmore Crokes, two teams that we really be trying to prove themselves as capable winners of the senior championship.
Mm-hmm. Go through the games with me briefly. Rathmore had their work kind of done as such, and dare I say, Spaw kind of snuck up on the outside and took the game off from the...
Yeah, Spaw won in the end in a sort of dead rubber, but it was a nice win for Spaw maybe to finish one. But as you said, Rathmore were resting players in that game. Really, Spaw finished in third place, and they lose out in second place just to their loss to Kinmare, which was the head-to-head rule. Really, it was just the amount of goals that Spaw got really won them the game. The first goal, Mike Foley hits his free off the post, and after a quick ball movement, David Spillane finished it low into the net. Second goal, David Spillane, penalty. Third goal, Shane Ryan first of Rathmore replied with a penalty. It was a soft enough, but albeit didn't really impact the final score. Another goal for Spaw then later on, David Spillane got his hat trick, and Connor Stack and even Owen Fitzgerald for Spaw both got goals. It was a real Spaw domination in the second half, and might be a strange game. Rathmore mightn't be happy with the goals they conceded, but I think they won't be too worried. They're through to a nice semi-final versus Crokes, which they'll fancy their chances in.
Of course, Spaw scoring 5-10 ahead of the coming championship, that get them back into a good place. Dingle had their work done as well heading into the final game. Talks about the Crokes, a lot of people today sending in texts about the Crokes saying that they made hard enough work of it, did they?
Yeah, well, maybe not as close as some people predicted, really.
Yeah, this was a game they lost last year, mind you, so it did reverse the result.
I know, yeah, and I suppose when you say it that way, then it's a great result. But Crokes do finish second in that group. It's another fourth place finish for Nagail. They actually started off very well. They had Tomasa Hannafin, Debbie Dorney hurler back for them straight from his hurling intercounty win, so he brought a bit of winner's mentality into the team. He kicked 3 points. I think Nagail really frustrated Crokes early on. The Barry brothers and Damien Burke, some fantastic defending there. It was all square at the interval, 6 points apiece. But Crokes' goal in the second half from Keane McMahon, a great run inside from Gavin. He found Evan Looney, who dished it to Keane McMahon. I think it was really the deciding moment of the game, and the old adage of goals in games was no more truer than Crokes and the Gael. They have Rathmore next. It's a tough fixture because Rathmore are littered with quality, but so are Crokes. And for me, I'm arguably calling the winner comes from that game. That's my wild prediction of the week.
The whole of Rathmore, but John Kennedy, the four teams left, we probably would have picked Dingle definitely Crokes. Maybe not the Kinmare. Will we have picked Rathmore at the start?
They're about Donald. They're very consistent, you know. And likewise, Kinmare, you know, they're getting a lot out. Maybe they're not getting the silverware at the end of it, but they're consistent, very difficult to beat. And you know, Rathmore, they're worked on before before the game the last weekend. But I suppose the four best teams have come through, to be fair. The one surprise, I suppose, was Dr. Crokes' performance with Dingle in the first round. Mm-hmm. Now Dingle were firing. It isn't that Crokes played badly, but Dingle played very well. Yeah. And you know, they're two good semi-finals, difficult enough to call. And it's a big call saying that the winner will come out of that, but I wouldn't disagree too much either. I think that, you know, Crokes are probably, they got their fright. You know, it could look like a Dingle Crokes final.
Dingle seem to be the informed team though, at the moment, don't they?
Yeah. It's an unusual enough championship in the sense that a lot of people think it's a secondary competition to the county championship in that sense, but it is a way out for clubs to get on that Munster and All-Ireland journey, particularly maybe with the dominance of East Kerry at that moment. And again, that mightn't be the way this year, but for the likes of a Dingle, who are the defending champions, they might have been kind of maybe questioned a bit unfairly because they're county league when they didn't have their county players with them, but they really are a team that managed to bring back their county players and their results really went up.
Yeah, their season really kicked off from there, Donal. And I suppose, look, when you're missing, I think it was five county players to North,
it's an incredible amount of
players that you're missing. And when they come in, the biggest problem at times is can they fit in seamlessly, and they seem to be in. And most important part of it is the three out of the five that come back are scorers.
Yeah. Forwards make a difference, don't
they? Yeah, and I do think that it's like everything. We can come up with all these systems and everything, but you have to put the ball in the back of the net or over the bar to win games, and Dingle are doing that. And I think it'll take a good effort from any of the three teams to put it up to Dingle, because they have that firing power up front. And I suppose, look, Rathmore, John Moynihan seems to be a guy that's popping up a lot
for goals
and getting the goals and everything with the past number of years. You know, Crokes, that's going to be an East Kerry derby. It's going to be very interesting. You know, there'll be no love lost there. It'll be a humdinger. And you know, Crokes are coming from a fantastic county league, but seem to be kind of, everybody else seems to be catching up to them now at the moment, so it'll make interesting both semi-finals.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Templeau, of course, as well, who drew here over the weekend, their second draw actually in the championship. It's amazing to go through a championship and get two draws out of three, John Kennedy. It shows that you're not too far away.
Yeah, not too far away, no, and they had a few injuries, look, and a local derby, it could have gone either way. Kinmare just, you know, that point put him through. I suppose on that, Paul Gainey is in the form of his life, really, in Tilliam. Mm-hmm. He's playing some great stuff, and he's crucial in Dingle's run to the semi-final.
Yep. When you play natural football, when you have natural forwards like that, you're going to get results.
Speaking of natural football, Cora.
Cora had a good result now the weekend.
I bet you scored 5.95 or something.
And it's like that, they got off to a good start, and goals win matches. Yeah.
There was a lot of goals actually scored across John Kennedy, of course, watched a few goals too. Port McGee fellas can score goals, John.
They can score goals, is right. You can be sure of it. But, you know, there's high scoring games.
There is,
which is good to see. And, you know, it's totally different from the football we've been watching.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Coolarden on Saturday evening for Ballydunhoe and Fossa, and a real championship game, but great scores again. And teams going at it. Yeah. That's what people want to see. Yeah. You know, taking on the defence, having a go. If we could get white, so what? But at least they're having a go. And it is refreshing to see it, look.
Yeah. Yeah. Eight teams still have a chance to win the Intermediate Championship and move up to senior next year, getting out of their groups. Andrew, maybe take us through the groups first of all, and what teams got out of the groups, maybe. And then we'll discuss the quarterfinal draw, maybe.
So, in Group A of the Intermediate, Austin Stacks and Glenbeg and Carr make it out of their group. Stacks coming first, Glenbeg second. In Group B, first, you had Cairns O'Reilly and second, Lone Rangers. Could come in unlucky now to make out of the group with that, and even Listowel, who came last, they can be proud of the effort that they put in that group in a real battle. They gave every team a right battle in those games. In Group C, Beaufort and Fossa make it out. Beaufort coming out on top, and Desmond's and Ballydunhoo in third and fourth consecutively.
Take me through some of the games, because I want to talk about Stacks first of all before we go on to the quarterfinal draw. They scored 4-13, special moment for Keane Purcell.
Cian Purcell becomes, as from Tim Slattery in his report, the first Stax player to score a hat-trick in Championship football since 1970, Paulie McCarthy versus Kinmare, which is kind of mad and a brilliant statistic from Slattery to get that. But he can hold that to himself. You know, that's 50 years, even more. So, he got three goals for Stax over the weekend. It was really a rip-roaring performance from Stax, who reversed the defeat that they had to Glenbeigh in the County League. The early goals won it for them, and they'll be satisfied. Glenbeigh will be satisfied with second place, though, because realistically it was them or the Gaeltacht getting through.
They had their work done as well. Gaeltacht won the last game, that group 2-21 to Mitchell, 10 points to come in third place. Group 2, you said it was the group of date. Really mature performance from Kieran Rahilly's yesterday. They had a big lead at half time. Kilcommon had the wind in the second half, and it just goes to prove win don't win games if you can't score. Big game by David Moran.
Yeah, David Moran just superb, and you know, like you often think he left on his own terms in Kerry, but just what a superstar he is in the middle of the field. He just patrols every game he plays in, and I mean, we all look back to that game he had versus Kilmacud Crokes in the All Ireland semi 2 years ago. Was that his swan song? But no, David's still going. He's still flying it, and he's definitely probably the best player out there on the field last day. Just a mammoth performance by him, and yeah, there was good performances all around really for Rahilly's. Yeah, obviously Moore and Ben Hannafin and Garo Dillon. I thought they were very well. And yeah, Kilcommon unlucky to lose out, but someone had to go out in the group of death, really.
Derek Cleary scored two goals, of course, in Hillblown Rangers. Again, they were behind at half time. A game of wind. A lot of games had that kind of wind influence at the weekend. 3-16 to 14 points, so they secured their way out of the group. Desmond's are group 3 themselves in Beaufort. An important win for Beaufort, Andrew.
Yeah, it's 3-3 for Beaufort, and a far from easy group really, and you really ignore Beaufort at your peril, because they topped the group and now they have a home quarter final versus Glenbeigh next weekend, a real mid-Kerry derby there. Beaufort led for the majority of that game, but Desmond's, they just won't go away, and Beaufort really secured in the end.
Liam Brosnan, Darragh O'Connor. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of him, have you?
I have, yeah.
One, tell me.
He's Sea Lone Rangers.
Well done.
Yeah.
How about you?
I had him in development squads, actually. Yeah.
I did.
Have you heard of him too?
I heard of him, yeah.
Now, if you say he's not with Lone Rangers, I give you a point. He's not with Lone Rangers.
No.
What has he scored in the championship?
He scored 3-9 from play.
For Beaufort. That's amazing. A guy who, people would know him, obviously, but 3-9, massive form from play as well. So keep an eye on him going forward. I sure never know, he might go back to Lone Ranger. So both are doing their work there. The other game of the group, John Kennedy was there, 118 to Fossett, 3-7 to Belly Dunhu. You got to see David and Paddy up in the flesh.
Yeah, it took Fossett a bit to get going. Donald, you know, Belly Dunhu had nothing to play for really, only Pride, played really well, got two goals. Mikey Nolan and Brian O'Shanahan, yeah. Two great goals. But look, Fossett weathered the storm, level at half time. David got a goal, a vital goal, punched it to the net, and Paddy kicked on a couple of insurance points. But you know, room for improvement for Fossett, but they're still in there.
Yeah. They're still bubbling away nicely. They're not at the boil yet, but they're getting their results now. In the other group, of course, we can't let the Glenflesk men talk about Glenflesk. Glenflesk.
Honorary Glenflesk men, if anything.
Hang on.
Tell you, he was a fairies man.
Fully.
he's like Mort Murphy. You know, 16 clubs. 2-13 to 1-14, good win in the end for Glenflesk. Funny enough, Andrew, Glenflesk, all the vital goals they've scored in that group, they've come in at a time.
Yeah, it's a good sign of a team that it's a never say die attitude. And
three Seamus Darby's, is it?
Everyone needs a Seamus Darby in their side. Yeah, Caelan Cronin got the goal late on for them in that game. He actually benefited off a shoulder from his marker. He judged the bounce well from the kick out, and he finished it into an open net. He got past the keeper, and they needed the goal because Gwynegula had a late rally, and Glenflesk only won by 2 in the end. So every score counts, and it's Gwynegula's first loss at home in the championship since 2016, so yeah, massive result for Glenflesk.
And St Mary's lost out to Legion in the last game, and I have to say about St Mary's, they hung in there through the 45th, 46th minute. They done the best they could. It was 8-6. They got a turnover. Legion got the goal out of it, and Legion got out of Carstairveen with a 6-point win, 110-7 points. So that leaves us with our quarter final pairings, which are.
So the quarterfinal pairings, first name team are at home, extra time and winner on the day. Cairns Rahilly's take on Fuss in Strand Road. That's next Saturday at 6 o'clock. Glenfleisk take on Lone Rangers next Sunday at 1 o'clock. That's over in Glenfleisk. Beaufort versus Glenbeghan Carr in the Mid-Kerry Derby next Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. And Austin Sachs versus Killarney Legion. Tralee versus Killarney. That's next Sunday at 4 o'clock, festival weekend.
Right, Liam, let's start with the team nearest to us, Austin Sachs versus Legion. You have great praise for Billy Lee and the work that he's done all across his CV and the whole lot. Mm-hmm. Are Stacks getting to that level now where, you know, last year was a bit of a shock, they didn't get back straight away, but yeah, they seem to be bubbling nicely. They're the highest scoring team, I think, by my records, or particularly on points difference out of it. They have something like plus 32 points in a group that contain Glenbeglen, Carr and you know, tough teams as well. Are they well set for this?
They are well set for this. They have the Kerry boys back now as well. A lot of young under 20s in there as well, you know. Paddy Lane, Daniel Kirby seems to be making an impact now as well, like so I'm Rickon and these fellas are back, you know. So Stacks have the players, and the one thing that I'm impressed with the weekend was the score they put up. They put up 4-13 against Glenbey. Now in the other side of it, what had Glenbey to play for? You know, they were already kind of in the seat for the quarter final, you know. So yeah, Stacks are going to be, look, everyone, even from day one, we were all looking at Stacks to be top of the pile. So there's a bit of pressure on them. They're walking around with a bullseye in their back, and they have Legion at home. I think the home venue will be a big addition. No, and a big help for the teams over the weekend. No, so I'd expect them to come out of that one all right.
Yeah, and they did get that draw against Gaeltacht, so they have been tested.
Yeah, and that kind of woke them up as well, because I'd say they were kind of going into that and kind of good for them, from what I'm hearing from challenge matches and stuff they were playing. But they came down with a bang then against the Gaeltacht, and they seem to have picked it up nicely now again. No, so it's going to be
at least two of the teams that will carry Mid-Kerry's championships hopes, and of course the draw 6:30 this evening, Beaufort and Glenbeglen Carr. Beaufort have been so close, John, never getting to the line, maybe, or getting over the line. Is there signs they're getting closer?
Yeah, I think this campaign, they've been really impressive, putting up good scores, you know, getting there and not depending on other results.
Under the radar.
Mike Breen, a huge addition back to him as well. You know, good management team, you know, they'll be fencing their chances. But Glenbey, you know, they were true before this weekend,
yeah.
So that game didn't really matter to them, so could afford to rest players,
yeah.
And you know, it's this is a real battle,
yeah.
And a derby game with it,
yeah.
And Glenbey have a guy, you know, everyone has to keep an eye on this Liam Smith in the middle of the field, fine footballer,
yeah.
No, so yeah, we're not putting any pressure on him now or anything, but he's
definitely Glenbey.
He's definitely Glenbey. No.
You know, another thing about this intermediate championship, while it's intermediate championship, there's a lot of names being mentioned.
Yeah.
Lads that are impressing really well, consistently now.
Outside the constant names that you
correct
know or that you're...
And I think that's good.
Yes.
There's new names coming on, yeah. And that's just one game.
And we have to dip into that pool as well.
We have to.
These are the players that are going to carry clubs over the line. I mean, you can have all the county players you want, but they're not going to carry the team over the line. You need other players to impress. And Beaufort impressed in that group as well. They beat Fossa, beat Desmond's, beat Ballydunhill. They have three games back to back and back again. So that's Glenbeglen Carr. Glenfleisk, John, they're at home to Lone Rangers. I have to say they were my pick at the start, and then you were laughing at me because they lost the first game, but they're back in the quarterfinals anyway. Tight game, I'd say.
Tight game, yeah. Glenfleisk, a good win over Ginnegale at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That was another tough battle, you know, and you know, they're staying going right to the end, as you said there earlier on. They're getting scores late in the game. Good sign of the team, good fitness levels, maybe the sign of their bench as well. Lone Rangers, a young team, coming nicely. You know, a team that were always seeing their status. This is a big game for them.
Yeah.
You'd say advantage Glenfleisk, but very tight one to call.
Yeah.
You know, Derek Cleary getting the goals. A lot of good young lads.
Seamus Minton versus Liam Hessett.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting sideline, won't it?
Fakir Clifford and these fellas now. It's the next step. As you say, there's two great measurement teams led by two great men, so a real battle in everywhere.
And of course, John Dunher there as well with Glenn Fliske. And I see Pat Flanagan.
Pat Flanagan is right, yeah.
Down the sideline as well. And I think Billy Shea hides in the crowd as well for Lone Rangers to be a bit of stats for. The final game. Liam back to Tralee. Kieran Rahilly's
the game of the big names, really, isn't it? Yeah,
it really is. Themselves and Fossa. I watched the Rahilly's game yesterday. They really impressed me, to be fair. I suppose there's this idea that when you get relegated, you go down and you're not the level. But they really look class.
They do, yeah. And like that, with David Moore in the middle of the field, Hoare as well. They're solid around the middle of the field, to be fair.
And they're big.
And if they can keep Tommy Welsh fit, if they can get him fit, like we saw in the second game there, the balls that he got and he was laying off and he created goals for the likes of Barry John coming in. But you have Fossa, and to be fair, Fossa, they're coming to the boil a small bit. Yeah. I think the two Cliffords are obviously going to be kept watched, but you have Amos and these guys, Rennie, around the middle of the field as well. Know, it'll be a good old battle there above in Kieran's Rally. There'll be a big hostile crowd up there. No, that'll be another home dinger to be at.
And they have the fence up now as well.
Okay.
There'll be no escaping there now or getting it for free. So Rahilly's and Fossa. Call Rahilly's and Fossa for me, Liam.
Rahilly's Fossa. I'd fancy Fossa.
You fancy Fossa?
Yeah.
That's Liam. John, what? Same or different?
Yeah, I think I'd fancy Fossa as well, Liam. Or Donal and that one.
I'll go for Rahilly's.
Come on, you go against us.
I like the Glenn Fliske and Lone Rangers, Liam.
I'll go with Glenn Fliske.
Oh.
Just on a home.
Thank
just
you,
because I go with Lone Rangers in this one, I think.
Fair play to you, and I'll stick with the gang that I said at the start. Both of them, Glenn Biglin Carr.
No, that's a tough one.
I think that
is going to be, you could go to extra time and everything here, but I think Beaufort will have that little bit too much for him.
John?
I'd agree, I think Beaufort,
just
yeah,
by
I
a point, so, yeah. There won't be much in it.
Not much in it, though. That's the tight one to call.
I'll put my mark down here and tell nobody. a lot of good listeners back in the Biglin Carr and Beaufort. Austin Stacks and Legion.
I think Stacks will win that.
Yeah, I think they have the squad, they have the players.
And they're at home.
And yeah, I think so.
Okay, good stuff. We'll put them up and we'll see how they get on as well. Finally, before we wrap up, those games again.
So the intermediate fixtures of the weekend. So Rahilly's take on Fossa, that's next Saturday at 6:00 in Strand Road. Glenflesk versus Lone Rangers next Sunday at 1:00 in Glenflesk. Beaufort versus Glenbey Saturday at 5:00. Austin Sachs versus Legion, that is Sunday at 4:00 in Connolly Park.
Absolutely. Winner on the day.
Winner on the day, extra time and winner.
All the way down to penalties. And of course, Liam thinks.
And is the semi final then the following week? Do we know? that's what came next of that chat.
We can ask him as Sweeney when we meet him. For now, we'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Of course, we'll be going live fairly shortly once we have the clear line to Listowel, to Emma Sweeney, and of course the Kerry Senior Football Championship draw this evening. Kind of an exciting night as well, but we'll stay on the clubs for a moment. Let's go back to the Premier Junior. Take us through maybe the groups at this stage. Maybe some of the teams have played two games and one group has played. So basically Group A, they've only one round of games played. Of course, Ardfert topped that group with 2 points, and so do Fieries and Bruston and Ballyduff. And of course, that was with hurling the week out. Group B, who's leading the way there?
So Group B, Renard losing out to St Sennans winning that by 3 points. Meanwhile, Ballymac defeating Churchill 3-13 to 2-9. So Ballymac probably arguably favourites in there. They're holding on well, and good results for them so far. And you have the table there.
And Sennans. Yep. So basically, Sennans have 4 and Ballymac have 4. So they've nearly the work done after two rounds. So both of them will be in the quarterfinals. On the score, Keel Listroy and Piercigna Dromada. Almost all leading the way there,
yeah. 2 from 2. They really put down a statement, defeating Dermot Pierce's 6-10 to 1-13. Meanwhile, the other side of the group, the Keel Listroy Derby, Keel come out on top of that, 1-11 to 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a game that yeah, Kiel kind of dominating from start to finish. But yeah, they'll be happy with the how they've been going on so far. Potential dark horse maybe for the junior premier. They're a fit team. They have some good players inside there, young lads. I mean, Evans is littered across the team, and yeah, themselves and Alice Gall can be happy with their performances so far.
Yeah, it's a proper name, of course. Keith Evans playing very well as well at the weekend. Group D: Castle Gregory, Curra, Liam's Gangway, St. Pat's, Blennerville, and Waterville. How's that going?
Yeah, Curra defeated St. Pat's, Blennerville 5-11 to 1-14. A great win.
How's the score?
5-11.
Repeat that again.
That's it twice. 5-11 to 1-14. Curra defeated St. Pat's Blennerville. Great win for Curra. Yeah. Has to be said. I mean, relegated last year. They're not. There's. It's a statement to say that they have intentions of heading back up to intermediate, isn't it? Yeah. Meanwhile, the other side, a tight win for Castle Gregory. They defeated Waterville 1-12 to 1-11.
Yeah, you have to feel sorry for Waterville. They're the bottom of the group. No point. Barely lost out to Castle Gregory there. So Castle Gregory have 4 points. Liam, we'll talk about that group. There's a game to go in that group. Castle Gregory have 4 points, Curra have 2, Blennerville have 2, Waterville at the bottom. Who Curra playing?
Curra down to Waterville no next weekend. Okay. Nothing easy down there.
So have you the deal done there, have you?
No deal done. No, Curra had a good win the weekend because, look, they're after a poor enough County League campaign. So they had the bit between the teeth. And to be fair, Blennerville never gave up, even though they conceded 3 goals very early. They kept going, but just Curra had that little bit too much. And playing at home as well, they had a bit of the stuff was between the teeth, and there was a bit of hurt there, and they went out and gave a good exhibition.
And it is hurt because you're an intermediate team in your head, much like we'll say the senior teams that drop down to intermediate level, and you want to kind of get back up there and you want to start winning games again. This is a big win for them in that context.
It is, and like every other team, you know, there's a transition at times. We're after losing Seamus Scanlon, who's a massive loss, you know, rightly so, deserves to hang up his boots. Yeah. But there's young fellas now coming in, and we saw him during the County League, maybe we were asking a bit too much from, but they seem to be kind of gelling nicely now as well. Yeah. No, so look, I won't say they're going to go and win it, but if they can really put up a couple of good performances now, heading towards it, and maybe build away on that.
Right, Group C: Onascall, Kiel, Listroy, and Piercing the Dromeda. Onascall on 4, Kiel on 4, Listroy have yet to get off the mark. Listroy, John, really haven't recovered from that loss in that final to Fossa a number of years ago.
No, they haven't recovered from it, and you know, that was in the Pintucky game, could have gone either way. They didn't, and you know, they haven't done a score on the way back. 2 wins, looking well in Kiel as well. But the one thing about all the divisions is that, you know, it's so competitive.
Very competitive, yeah.
And most of them are going down to the last game. Mm-hmm. You know, which is good, and it's good to see teams that, you know, Skull had dropped a bit. They were in transition. Now they're back up there again, and they're competing, and it's very, very competitive, the Premier Junior.
Yeah, the Group B: Senans, Ballymac, Renard, and Churchill. Senans on 4, Ballymac on 4, Renard last year's champions, of course, from the Junior, coming up. Haven't got a win, and Churchill haven't got a win either. Senans and Ballymac, 2 teams, Liam, that you would kind of say, yeah, no side chance. Maybe Ballymac probably an inside chance.
Yeah,
maybe.
Ballymac will probably go down as favourites to win the competition. Yeah. You know, last year they'll probably consider themselves very unlucky against Listowel. Senans surprised me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I've seen Renard this year. You know, they came up last year. I've seen him in the County League this year. Impressed with him, very young, very very lively. You know, so yeah, Senans seem to be.
And doesn't it point to the fact that the gradings kind of work, because you see a Renard team playing so well against Tarbert, and you're saying, God, you know, this is fantastic. So they come up to the level above them, and the first 2 meetings they just can't get a win.
Exactly, yeah. You know, it's like John said, the competition is so competitive. You know, even teams that go up and come down, there's no given that you're going to go up the following year, or, you know, because there's so many good teams out there, and if clubs can put it together and put in the effort, and like Owen Scholar, typical there as well. I see Falvey's very playing well, Cahill Ferreter's playing very well for him. Now, these were all Kerry minors. Now, these were all guys that we went up the Crow Park following,
the talent,
and they have the talent.
Yeah.
But Sinners have been really consistent throughout County League. I think they went unbeaten in County League.
Yeah.
And you know, William Kirby's out there, you know, a lot of good players there. And, you know, I suppose maybe that Crotta weren't involved in the latter stage of the hurling.
It kind of helps, doesn't it? A dual club and maybe they're coming back again. We have a bit of time. Let's go to myself and John Kennedy's level, down to the junior. Group A is Douar, St. Michael's, Fylmore, Bale and Scarta Glen. What's happening there?
Yeah, Douar are looking powerful, to be fair. They defeated Bale and scoreline 4-13 to 8 points. In the other side, your St. Michael's, Fylmore with a glorious win over Scarta Glen 3-15 to 1-10. Yeah, good wins for both teams, dominant really in the end, and that sets up Douar versus Michael's Fylmore. They head away to South Kerry next week. That should be tasty.
Yeah, I suppose we'll bring him back to Belly. I suppose we'll let him travel another thing.
And Bale and Scart, the night before.
Bale and Scart, Douar flying down there. I mean, an impressive performance. Cormac Dillon, I mean, he's a class player.
He's one of the standout forwards in the county, and regardless what level, he did it with the Kerry Miners. But they have John Halpern back again. John is a very astute manager, doing great work, and they have the players very impressive in the county league, and they'll be quietly looking at this.
Yeah, and the way it's panning out, of course, Douar on 4 points playing Belly Fylmore on 3, and Bale have 1 and Scart on nothing. So a big Douar win, and Bale might look after their own business, and Bale might get out of it as well, because that can't finish in a draw. So we'll go down to the scoring difference, so we'll all get the calculators out for that. Group B, Myvan, Cordell, Tarbert and Kilgarvan.
Yeah, stalemate between Myvan and Kilgarvan, 110 to 110. Meanwhile, Cordell defeated Tarbert 211 to 8 points. Yeah, good win for Cordell. Meanwhile, Kilgarvan just couldn't get over Myvan in the end in the real South North Kerry derby. But good game overall.
Who's up next in that? Because it's a very interesting group.
So Kilgarvan take on Cordell. That's next Saturday at 6:30. And at the same time, Myvan are up against Tarbert.
It's a very interesting group because obviously two North Kerry teams there, John. Myvan are on 3 points at the moment. They are playing Tarbert, who are on 2 points, and Cordell, of course, over in your neck of the woods, are on 2 points playing Kilgarvan, who have 1 point. A Kilgarvan win could get him over the line. Basically all of those four teams can get out of that group, and that will make that exciting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those games, like the competition is unbelievable. Myvan, you know, a young team, always difficult to beat. Tarbert, the team that were beaten by Renard last year, up under new management, under Eamon McKelligate and new management. If they win, they will be through.
Yeah, there's huge permutations. Like, Tarbert could beat Myvan, going in ahead of the posse in the last round, right? Tarbert could turn them over, Cordell do their business, and Myvan won't qualify. Myvan, that tells you how tight that group is.
That's the beauty of that championship.
And it's the beauty. Brilliant. Let's go to Group C. Skellig Rangers, Cremorne, Finuig and Asti. Two very strong North Kerry teams there.
Yeah, I better be careful what I say here. So Skellig Rangers defeated Asti 5-19 to 1-8. Meanwhile, Cremorne defeated Finuig 1-9 to 9 points. Cremorne getting back on track after a heavy defeat to Skellig Rangers last week. Skellig Rangers looking strong.
Yeah, Skellig Rangers are good, and they can score as well. That's a big thing.
Is that 10 goals in 2 games?
We don't talk about goals, it's okay. Not that many anyway. John, I mean, you got a good look at Skellig Rangers.
Yeah, very great squad, very fit, good young fellas. I'll be honest with you, moved the ball very well, and got great scores. Big squad of players, good management team, very well organised, I'll be honest with you, and I was very impressed with them. You know, they're a Division 4 team as well, and consolidated their position, you know, and
that's the other side of the championship. We're looking at teams now, but some teams are Division 3, 4, 5 all down this level, and the county league difference does make a difference.
Oh, it does, definitely. Yeah, and like you can see, Cremorne and Finuig had beaten Asti the previous week. Cremorne were well beaten by Skellig, and then Cremorne came out and beat Finuig last weekend, which was a big win.
Yeah,
out in Finuig. So it just goes to show on any given day, and at this time of the year, it depends. A lot of teams are missing players. It depends on who you have.
Well, that is the difference. I mean, sometimes you can have 2 subs, and sometimes you can have 9 like subs, and like I said, you don't know who's missing. Group D, Knocknagoshal, Valentia Young Islanders, Lispol, have to be careful there, of course, the chairman hangs around the corner here, and Sneem, Derry and 2 South Kerry teams, a West Kerry team, and a North Kerry team. How's that going, Andrew?
Yeah, Valentia back on track. Lost to Knocknagoshal last week, but they defeated Lispol 3-11 to 2-10. Meanwhile, Knocknagoshal keep up their winning form, defeating Sneem, Derry 1-15 to 9 points. Yeah, good to see Valentia back on track. Meanwhile, Knocknagoshal are fine.
Yeah. Funnily enough, Knocknagoshal have 4 points in that group, 2 good wins. They're going to be playing Lisboa, of course, who have 1 win and 2 points. Valencia have 2 points, and Sneem Derry 9 have no score yet. So technically what could happen in this group is that if Lisboa do their business against Knocknagoshal, they will get to 4 with Knocknagoshal, and if the Valencia gang can win or negotiate themselves with Sneem Derry 9, they'll get a win. You have 3 teams and 4 points.
It comes down to points then, doesn't it?
Wow, absolutely. Yeah. I'd be kicking points for fun and shots and everything. And just going in, the points difference, just for listeners, Knocknagoshal, they're starting the day with 13 points ahead. Valencia are on 0. Lisboa are 2 behind the curveball and -2. And Sneem Derry 9, who can't get out of the group, or can they get out of the group? They possibly could get out of the group, because if Knocknagoshal give Lisboa a small bit of a trimming, and Sneem Derry 9 beat Valencia by a nice enough score, Sneem Derry 9 get out of the group. So there's hope for everybody. Isn't it fantastic? Liam, you were at a couple of games over the weekend. There's a great buzz for club football, isn't there?
There is, I suppose, coming off a campaign with the green and gold. But these competitions always seem to bring out the best anyway. You know, the supporters come out, the rural, and we've a lot of local derbies as well.
Yeah.
You know, so there's been fierce interest. And even no matter what division you're looking at or what competition, the games have been very tight. Like, I was even talking to the Cordell boys yesterday, and they were on about going down to Kilgarvan next weekend, that they're very weary going down there.
Yeah.
No, so it's and you'll be talking to other fellas, like you will be talking John about going down wherever you're going. Yeah. No, so there's no giving anymore, really. No. Yeah.
And that's what's lost in the club as well, John. I mean, like, everybody wants to talk about the Stacks and the Crokes and the Dingles and the whole lot, but in reality it's the Cordells and the Kilgarvans and the Knocknagoshals are in probably a lot more people's minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're, like you said earlier on there, you're at your own level. And you know, that's what it's all about. It's about trying to get above and punching above your weight, but it's about
being competitive,
yeah. And you know, championship football, and some of the rural clubs with numbers tight, a few injuries, it can make the difference between winning and losing. Mm-hmm. But like you can see the likes of Dewa there, Myvan and Tabot, Skellig Rangers, Knocknagoshal again, great to see Valencia back, and that championship, that's their championship really.
And we're not seeing 15 men behind the ball. No. You might see it for 10 minutes and then they've run out of gas.
They won't be able to do it.
15 men can't get back. No. So it's football and
okay, super. And it's great because we've mentioned every club that plays football across the county. Andrew, thanks very much. Stay with us, boys, because we might cut across now live to Emma Sweeney. Good evening, Emma. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Donal. How are you?
Yeah, you were like the Eurovision. You were having difficulties, were you?
Yeah, we've had difficulty here. We can't go live, unfortunately. We tried it a few times there, so we're doing the draw, so I'll keep you posted here. And once it's been recorded, we're recording it. We'll pop it up on Facebook for everyone else to see. But so just a little bit stressed. But
absolutely
sure,
fine. But sure, it wouldn't be Kerry J if you didn't have a little bit of stress. it keeps us all on our toes. So what's happening at the moment? Are they making the draw at the moment?
So Terence is just talking about the new structure of the draw. The fact that, you know, over the next few years the structure is going to change to get to that structure that was, I suppose, heard about recently enough.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And of course the structure is that we want to get 10 clubs and of course 6 districts and the whole lot, and we're promoting, I suppose, intermediate to senior clubs and the whole lot. But this year's structure is going to be 8 versus 8, which is quite exciting, and not the group structure.
Yeah, I suppose back to that, what they call the Christy Ring kind of format. So yeah, definitely a lot to whet the appetite, you know.
Yeah.
He's just running through the teams now, Donald. So as everybody knows, we have Dingle, Nagail, Dr. Crokes, Milltown Castlemaine, Spa, Rathmore, Temple Knowe, Kenmare Shamrocks, West Kerry, South Kerry, Shannon Rangers, St. Kieran's District, St. Brendan's Board, Mid Kerry, Sheen Rangers, and East Kerry. So the usual crowd already to get names into the bowl.
Super.
They're about to do the draw now, Donald. Here we go.
Brilliant. Okay, you can take us through it, so I make.
First team out is Temple Knowe, Donal. And Temple Knowe will be playing Sheen Rangers. Next we have St. Brendan's Boers, and they will be playing South Kerry. So 2 districts there. Milltown Castlemaine right now, Donal. Intermediate Timeship winners from last year, of course. And they will be playing Spa. So two clubs meet there. Next out, Donal, we have Rathmore and Kerry D. Chairperson Patrick O'Sullivan is now pulling out Rathmore's opponent, East Kerry. Oh,
fair play to Patrick O'Sullivan.
Yeah. Next out is Kenmare Shamrocks. And Kenmare Shamrocks will face Dr. Crokes. So again, another meeting of clubs there. Nigel are out next, Donal. And Nigel will face Shannon Rangers. St. Kieran's District are out now. And Patrick O'Sullivan is once again giving us their opponent, which is West Kerry. So again, two districts meet there. Ed Kerry are out next, Donal. And there's only one team left, but Patrick's going to do his due diligence there, and it's Dingle. So just to run through that again for you there, Donal. Temple Know will play Sale Rangers. St. Brendan's Board will play South Kerry. Milltown Castlemaine will play Spa. Rathmore will play East Kerry. Kenmare Shamrocks will play Dr. Croke. Nigel will play Shannon Rangers. St. Kieran's District will play West Kerry. And Mid Kerry will play Dingle. So a lot to look forward to there.
Fair play to you, Emma. Listen, thanks so much, Emma. We have a lot to go through on that. Thanks very much. That's Emma Sweeney, of course, the fantastic Kerry GAPRO, doing fantastic work reporting live there at the draw, and Garvey's Super Value in Listowel. And we might go back there in a couple of minutes and catch maybe Paul O'Connor as well from Garvey's and just get a reaction to that. Thanks very much, Emma. Well, guys, what do you reckon?
Some tasty ones there, don't
there's it? Some tasty ones. Let's start with the biggest tasty one of them all, the Champions versus Rathmore. East Kerry and Rathmore.
East Kerry derby.
It's a derby. And of course, yeah, just to explain to listeners as well, it's different from last year where there was groups. So basically, you have 16 teams, 8 will play 8, the winners will move on to another group, and the losers will all end up in a group where they have to play each other as well. So each team will at least get 2 games. So even if it's a case that you lose your first game, you have a second bite of the cherry. Let's go through from the top. Temple Know and Field Rangers. We were saying Temple Know were finding their way steady along the club championship. Field Rangers, John?
It a lot will depend, John, on what they've done. First game is always crucial. And, you're a club team against a divisional team. But Field Rangers, if they get it together, you know, it venues, I presume, Donald, they're neutral, are they? They're not, Timpano not at home, are they?
You're Basley and Brassard.
That's going to be a big one.
If you're getting your own back in the
If Timpano were at home now, that would be a tough one for Field Rangers.
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, we'll take a quick break and we'll get answers to that.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
So there you go, we have the draw live here on Terrace Talk, thanks to Emma Sweeney, Kerry GAPRO. And just to fly through it for anybody not listening to it, Temple Know versus Field Rangers, St. Brendan's will play South Kerry even, Milltown Castlemaine versus Spa, Rathmore versus East Kerry, Kimmere Shamrocks versus Dr. Croke's, Nigel versus Shannon Rangers, St. Cairns versus West Kerry, and Mid Kerry versus Dingle. We had started on the Temple Know Field Rangers game. St. Brendan's versus South Kerry, Liam, tasty.
It's going to be tasty enough. Yeah. I think the districts, the main thing here, Donal, is how teams get on in their club championships, mm-hmm, and see what kind of a buy-in they get from the teams. Yep. No, that's going to be very important for districts.
And it'll take a while. It's not like last year either, where you had a couple of group stages to kind of
exactly
win a game.
Yeah.
Milltown Castlemaine versus Spa. I mean, both teams are happy with that ride, I'd imagine.
The Milltown's form in the club wouldn't be good enough, I think, to beat Spa. Mm-hmm. Spa, like, you know, they're a tough team. Both teams will have a chance in their own view, but I think Spa.
Yeah. Rathmore versus East Kerry.
Yeah, was that was a quarter final or semi final last
yes,
year?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and, yeah. And Rathmore stuck with him.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be another game that's going to go down to the wire. Yeah. But I suppose look, East Kerry are still everyone's number one at the moment, anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the number ones are everybody else is moving closer to the number one as well.
Yeah, and that's what you want as well. Yeah. Kinmare Shamrocks versus Dr. Crokes. I mean, technically they could meet in the club championship, could they?
They could.
And now they're going to meet in the first round of the county championship.
Yeah. It's a tough one to call again. You'd slight advantage, Dr. Crokes, I think, but Kinmare will relish the chance of having the Crokes as well.
Yeah, it'll be nothing for free. Nagail versus Shannon Rangers.
Yeah, Nagail after coming off a good performance against Crokes, so it'll give me a bit of chance as well as getting injuries back. But Shannon Rangers will fancy this. No, like it's nice to see Rob Stack now and these fellas back in action again. So yeah, that'll be another good competitive game.
St. Cairns versus West Kerry, John?
You fancy Cairns in that one, I think.
Won't be much between the two of them.
Won't be much, yeah. Again, it depends on what's done.
Yeah.
But Cairns are always a team that are organised. And, you know, West Kerry, with the Gaelic lads, they'll be...
Yeah, depends what kind of effort is being put in.
They'll be tough to beat, but I'd imagine slight advantage to Cairns.
Yeah, and then of course the last one then is last year's beaten finals, Mead Kerry versus Dingle. Mead Kerry, of course, without Milltown Castlemaine this year, that'll take a small bit out of them, will it?
It will, yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of the main players were a part of the Milltown team, you know, so Dingle. Depends on the club championship again, what kind of way they finish out that. You know, so that's going to be, yeah, that'll be a good game. But you would fancy in the first round, I'd fancy Dingle in that one now because they'll have enough done coming into it.
Yeah, and Aidan from Tralee, one of many callers on Hello All. Does anyone know why the final of the senior club and intermediate club championship have been set, but there's no date yet for the Premier Junior final? I hope for the sake of all that this competition will be played off before the coming championship starts rather than leaving both teams waiting for 4 or 6 weeks for the final, not fair. And anyone involved, and not to mention the worsening weather conditions. Many thanks, Aidan from Tralee. The only thing I'd say to that, Aidan, is that the Premier Juniors and all them, they started off a week later because there was a number of teams involved in the hurling championship. But your point is well made, Liam. It would be kind of crazy to leave two teams sitting there until the championship.
It would for 6-7 weeks, yeah. But we have done that before, so it's gonna. Yeah, but I would like to see them all play it and get them done with, which gives the districts then a chance to get organised and have a go at the county championship.
Fair play to you. How do you know about hurling? Who won the county championship, John?
Oh, I be doing it.
They're still celebrating.
What a performance, in fairness.
Well, we put out an AFEB to find a couple of them anyway, so James McCarthy rounded up 3 or 4 of them and we'll be having them in around 7:15 this evening with the Cup as well, which is fantastic. And of course, a couple of them probably be looking at the Football Championship as well. Maybe a few of them will be looking at Nagail as well and Shannon Rangers. The format of the draw, Liam, I mean, people always give out about formats and changes and the whole lot. It is what it is and it gives teams a... two chances maybe.
I think there's a bit of bite about this now because you know, with the last couple of years they've been maybe a couple of games where if you lose one you're still in it. You lose now, you've only one chance after that. So I think this is more championship, to be fair enough.
Yep, that's fair enough. Yeah, absolutely. And of course the way it is the 8 winners will move on to their own block. They'll play each other then as well. The losers of those winners will sit in a group waiting for the winners of the losers group to go forward. And I suppose the one thing about it is that every game will have a knockout feel to it. And of course that's what we want. We were just after finishing with I suppose a very dramatic Garvey's Senior Hurling Championship, and we're looking forward to a very dramatic Senior Football Championship. And Paul O'Connor there, you've all the pictures taken, Paul, have you?
Thanks be to God, one lad. There was a few technical difficulties. But my makeup.
The makeup studio in Garvey's, we're missing a product or two. We'll have to work on that. Come here, it's a great night for your shop in Listowel as well, to be kind of hosting the draw and the whole lot. And of course, a lot of good football out there in the Listowel area, of course.
There is. I mean, especially underage, you know, since North Kerry came together the last few years, it's been a great success, really, you know. So long may continue, and sure, there's always passionate support out here and interest, you know, but it's great to see Field Rangers doing well there now the last couple of seasons as well, you know. It's just reviving things out here for everybody, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Field, and of course Shannon probably a small bit down the road for me, but I'm sure they pop in on a Saturday to Garvey's. What does it mean for the shop locally to be kind of involved in the football championships and the hurling championships as well?
Sure, it's great, really. Like, I mean, especially when you're doing the draws, and there'll be fierce chat now and chatter and hopballing and stuff tomorrow morning, and fellas, as they say, why did you pull this team out against that team or whatever, you know? Which is a great talking point. And look, once the inter-county season is over, I suppose, it's at the centre of all our focus now, all GA lovers, really, whether it's the hurling or the football, you know, it's just a huge talking point, a huge passion for it out here.
Yeah, a few tasty draws there as well. No doubt a few shoppers from Field Rangers. Do they know where Temple Knowe is, do they?
They're going to find out, I'd say, and they'll get a right length. That's a very strong, that's a tough draw for the Knowe, in fairness. That's a very talented Temple Knowe team, but we'll wish them all the best anyway. Hopefully they'll come through.
Absolutely. What colours would you have yourself in those 16 teams?
As young as I played for John Mitchell's, and I'm living out in sort of the Spa Phoenix direction, so I suppose it's the Churchill area, so I suppose St. Brendan's would have a place close to the heart, and they'd be reasonably strong now as well with the clubs that they can choose from, you know.
Yeah.
So I suppose if I was to a personal preference, I suppose there, but look, from a business point of view, I'd like to see Shannon Rangers and Field Rangers doing well. That's all your customers and your local staff and things like that as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But sure, you have the market corner, you have one back in Dingle, and you have another one in Castleline looking after St. Cairns. Yeah, you have most of it covered. Come here, how long now has Gary's been sponsoring this?
Off the top of my head, no, I'm not sure, but I'd say certainly more than the last 10 or 12 years anyway, you know. I think, as far as I know, since the IB pulled out that time, I think Garvey's been sponsoring it since, and it's a great sponsorship for us, you know, because whether we have a shop in a given town or not, it's covering the whole county, whereas we love to sponsor local clubs and so on, and we do that, but it's great to cover something that our sponsoring to cover the whole county, really, don't, you know. It's great exposure for us, and it's great to give stuff back, the money back to the county board, who are giving us all great satisfaction and great interest all through the year, you know.
Absolutely. And if it isn't Field Rangers or Shannon Rangers, who would you put your, and St. Brendan's, of course, a big nod to them, who would you put another nod on, maybe?
Well, I suppose the lazy answer is Kerry, I suppose, really.
It isn't,
is,
yeah.
I suppose because our own business is based in Dingle, I suppose, and historically, and that's where it started, I suppose we'd like to see the lads doing well. No, Jim is a selector too, so I suppose there'd be no harm from seeing good farm coming into work either, like, you know.
Yeah, you tell Jim now he'll need to start winning, because, you know, the pressure to come on quick enough on selectors.
Well, to be honest, I have to ball at him last week about some game they had. I think just come up to Cork, and he was telling me how weak they were. I said, he reminded me of Mick O'Dwyer, no matter who they played, they were the underdog, you know. So they're doing well, but look, to the tough championship, it's very open. Look, there's better experts than me out there now, but I'd say there's, if we took East Kerry as the obvious favourites, there's another four or five teams there that'll give them a good challenge, you know.
Yeah, fair play. Listen, Paul, thanks very much. Thanks for your continued support, of course. Garvey's Super Value sponsoring the football and the hurling championships. And of course, after 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking to the winning hurling championship winners, Abby Dorney, of course. We have a lot of hurling, of course, in the second hour, which is absolutely fantastic. Andrew, next week we'll be back again, and we'll be looking forward to who's in the final, and we'll be looking forward to the intermediate semi-final winners.
We can't wait.
And of course we'll have the final rounds of those Premier Junior and Junior games as well, which will give us probably a better idea of where's it going. It was a good show tonight, Liam. I mean, didn't often we can mention every football club in Kerry and
and to go down to from one tip of Kerry to the other tip of Kerry, but that's great, because look, that's what the championship's all about. Now everyone goes at it, even now D John there, look, you see the hair has gone from the top of the head from the pressure and everything, so championship brings that out.
That's all right, John, you won't be playing Port McGee next week,
John. But I think it's great, Don, to see the talent that's on display, and the quality of the people on the sideline with the different clubs at every level, and the interest and the effort they put in. It's great.
Absolutely.
To see.
We'll take a break for news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, been joined by the fantastic hurling gang. They're back in. This time last year, they did all their homework done.
They're
a bit late this year.
Hold on a minute now. One person.
Stan came with his homework.
Come on now.
He stood the dog at mine.
Jane's never done homework. Stan has the homework. Before we do the homework, lads, there will be overnight restrictions to the weather supply to the Banan area and parts of Kinmare, and may also experience low pressure on Monday the 12th and Tuesday the 13th of August between 10 and 7 a.m. in Inishkea. I appreciate your patience in this matter. There you go. Guys, welcome back. It's great to have you in studio. This time last week, it was kind of hard to contact you.
Every angle.
God, Richard, was I know here? He rang out of space last week for you, Richard. You were earthed, were you?
Yes, just about.
Good stuff.
Some of us have to work, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true too, of course. We're having great fun. Come here, we'll run through some of the highlights of the championship, okay? Obviously, Abidoran, you're outside the door. It's fantastic seeing him 50 years away at this time last year. We gained the weight of Crotty, which was amazing. So there really is kind of a changing times in the hurling championship where, I suppose, teams are maybe levelling out with each other and you can't pick a winner, and that's the kind of championship that's the way it should be done. Let's run back fairly quickly. When the groups were picked, we done the draw. Ballyduff, Crotty, Causeway and St Brendan's were in one group. Ballyduff and Crotty came out of that group. Ballyduff with their 3 wins, of course. Crotty in second place. Causeway had their 1 win and Brendan's didn't get out at all. The second group had Abidoran, Ilixna and Tralee Parnells, and of course 2 got out of that group. And I can remember the night the draw was being made, we were saying, well, you know, there's a great opportunity for teams to get out of here. Abidoran done the business, won their 2 games, Ilixna got out of the group, and Parnell's making their debut. Performed reasonably well, lost to Ilixna 16 points to 14, which you'd certainly take that as new intermediate championships coming up, and found the going maybe a bit difficult against Abidoran. At that stage, we probably didn't know how good they were. It was 127-8 points, and of course, Abidoran beat Ilixna in the big game, 514-118 in that group. And then the third group, Ballyhigh, Kilmiley, and Dr. Crokes, the real group of death, which neither of the two of you gave Dr. Crokes any chance of getting out, and he banked your own buddies to get out. Ballyhigh topped it, which you said wouldn't happen, James McCarthy. He came second with your 1 win.
Where was that? I didn't see that.
And that was a fantastic win, 16 points to 13 by Ballyhigh over Kilmiley. That was certainly a highlight on the 15th of June. And then the Dr. Crokes, to be fair to them, they performed reasonably well. Ballyhigh too strong from 226 to 16 points, but Crokes done enough maybe as well. And then it was 114 to 123, Kilmiley beating Crokes. It was on then. You had preliminary semi-finals and quarter-finals and the whole lot, but we just bounced straight down to the semi-finals, which led Abidoran to beat Ballyhigh, and Kilmiley, who put up 225 and still didn't get it over the line, which is amazing. Ballyduff winning it 425 to 225 after extra time, and then Abidoran won the final on the 4th of August. It feels like it was nearly a month ago, but it certainly hasn't been. 117 to 110. Richard, looking at that, there was lots of good highlights in that championship.
Absolutely, and I suppose what stands out for me, of course, is that, you know, that two teams that were the whipping boys, I suppose, a few years ago, Abidoran and Ballyhigh, I suppose there was massive advancements this year by both those teams, especially Abidoran, who went all the way, which is fair play to them. But I suppose Ballyhigh, we would be very happy as well, because, you know, okay, it didn't finish good against Abidoran, you know, it was a 6-day turnaround, but then, you know, I was coming out of Ostertag Park and something nudged me and said, look, Ballyhigh weren't that bad after all, because we saw the ability of Abidoran against Ballyduff. So, you know, very happy from that perspective. But yeah, I mean, the only, I suppose, downside is there were a few teams that were affected by injury as well, and we didn't see the best of them. Causeway, Ilixna and teams like that, so that was a bit disappointing. But yeah, some good hurling, and you know what I'm going to say now, I hope that a lot of these guys who starred in the county championship will go on to wear the green and gold, because we need to have these lads back. There's some fantastic hurlers there, and we need them at inter-county level.
And was certainly showcased throughout the championship. James, something that you always loved to mark, good scoring forwards. Philip Lucid tops the charts with 244. Michael O'Leary, 342. Ronan Walsh got in there with 43 points. Brendan Barrett didn't get out of the group, 425. God, he was absolutely flying. Patrick Boyle, of course, 327. Shane Nolan was there with 227. Fionnuala Egan, of course, 30 points. Mark Heffernan of the Crokes, 28 points. Oisin Mansell snuck in there with 5 goals and 8 points, so he certainly could find the net when he wanted it. And Jack Goulding as well down there. When you read a list like that, there's quality in that county, isn't there?
You have to say that, like, the hurling done has come on. The problem I have with the hurling here is we've 8 weeks of good hurling. And
the window's very short, isn't it?
It's too short.
Yeah.
It's too short. I mean, teams will only train for county championship. They won't train for Knockaray championship. No disrespect to Knockaray competitions or county league competitions at the start of the year. They'll only get going when the championship gets going. And that really depends how Kerry do and Joe McDonough as well. Because then you have your full squad back, and then you have, that's when the real hurling starts in Kerry to me. And it's such a pity that it's so congested in such a short period of time that, like, if you look at any guy that wants to get on the county team, like, he's August off, he's September off, he might have had half of July off, he's October, November, December, he might go back till January. You're saying, 5 months without putting a hurley up with even any bit of competition.
Yeah.
He said, my God, where are you going? You're starting on a low ebb straight away. It's a pity because the hurlers are there. We've seen it. We know it. But some restart, we probably have to go to every game. We nearly do go to every game some way or another. And we see a different guy from every club. Jesus, wouldn't he be a nice fit now for Kerry? Wouldn't he fit in that corner forward? Wouldn't he fit in corner back? Wouldn't he start in centre back? And you kind of forget when you look back and you're picking your team of the year, kind of looking back at that, you forget about the quarterfinals, who went out, and the quality of the players that were there. Causeway played 5 games. People forget how many games they played.
Yeah.
And the quality, like on that team, I'd pick one. I mentioned him so many times before, and it's Evan Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
He was man of the match in every game he played. Every game he played. His hands down, he was head and shoulders above every fella on the field. And even Kilmarnock match, he was winning at his own side and he was going on the other side trying to get a goal his last puck of the game.
Yeah.
So like that to me was a super effort by that man. Like, what a championship he had.
Yeah.
So I don't know, picking this team in the championship, Richard has given me his homework. I'm just looking over it. I don't know where we'll go with that.
We're biding time.
We're copying each other.
Evan Murphy, yeah, good shout. Some of the other highlights, I mean, Patrick Boyle scored 212 against Kilmarnock.
It's massive, yeah. Massive.
Know, Philip Lewis scored 115 against Crata.
Was it 115?
115. I mean, that's all right. Michael Leary, 3-8 against Lixnar. I mean, Shane Nolan, 2-10 against Ballyhike. Sorry, Richard. Ronan Walsh scored 15 points against Ballyduff another day. Philip Lucas, 111. I know against Dr. Crokes. But I mean, it's some clipping. Shane Nolan, 14 points against Causeway. Philip Lucas again, 12 points against Kilmiley. Ronan Walsh, of course, 11 points against Crokes, 11 points against Ballyhike. And Michael O'Leary, of course, 11 points against Tralee Parnells. So, I mean, it's fantastic. Fantastic scoring, and I suppose, as I said, look, it's a sign of the quality that's out there. So when you sit down finally to pick a team of
we're still writing names,
a team of the championship, I just last week with you that I didn't know a whole pile about hurling, but I'd imagine there'd be 12 Abby Dorney fillers on it anyway. And you kind of saw,
God.
So are you going to downsize from 12?
You have to look at if you like,
is it not winner takes it all, is it?
It is winner takes it all,
yeah,
only the cup.
Only the cup, right?
Okay, everything else you have to think about it. You really, guys, like, we're not an All Star committee. We're not going to look at the final and semi final and say, oh, that's it, and divine the rest.
Yes.
The All Star committee do that. And you know that, don't you? You're an All Star committee. And you've done that before. I've seen that with you. You know that.
Final there.
Yeah. You're divine the rest. Turn off the rest of the games there. But there was a lot of quality. Like, people say, oh, there was too many games. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought so many games, in especially in Group One.
Yeah.
The other groups were lopsided. Group One, all those games were very, very even.
Of course, you had four teams.
On an even keel, very even keel. It's hard, like, you forget about the county champions very, very quickly. And I'm talking about last year's county champions, not the new champions, Abby Dorney. Crotter, only that week they fell so flat against Ballyhige. They don't want to say they were flat. Ballyhige were just buzzing, unbelievable, hopping off the ground, and they beat them. But that Crotter team is still a good team. That Crotter team could come back next year conceivably and win again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can't write teams like that off. Okay. Very hardly.
So when you're picking 15, there will be players who people will say tonight, oh God, I can't believe they forgot Johnny and Michael.
Of course.
And a whole lot. So there is a lot of players out there. Is that a sign of a very good championship, Richard, when you're having that debate? Whereas in years gone by, you could probably pick 12 players straight away without ever seeing them and a whole lot. But you're getting to a stage where the games are far more competitive, they're higher scoring, and I suppose the standard of hurling is on the way up as well.
Yeah, so there's two things I suppose to look at, and I suppose, first of all, you have to look, as James says, you have to look across the whole championship. I mean, I suppose after Ballyhige beating Crotter, there was a lot of Ballyhige lads on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
Then yes. When Ballyhige fell to Abby Dorney,
yes, that's true.
They fell off the radar.
Yeah.
And then
fell off the planet.
But then when we saw the fantastic performance of Abby Dorney against Ballyhige, you know, as your man said, across Zach Park,
yeah,
were Ballyhige that bad after all?
Exactly.
So then you have to put them back on again and say, yeah, right, hold on a minute. Because I think what's very important when you're picking a team like this is not just the quality of player, but who are they marking?
Yes.
You know, if you're marking a top quality player, you have to give credit to that, you know. For
and
that
of course, there's different ways about, like, are you picking a team that you think will go out and absolutely destroy another team? Are you picking a team recognising the individual performances of fantastic players throughout it? Are you picking a team that says, well, look, he's a great centre back, but these two lads would make him even a better centre back, and he would benefit? So there's loads going on, but after this break, we'll reveal the team.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
No, you're very welcome back. It's like the 1970s inside here. I suppose the Kerry hurling team trying to pick a team for the morning.
Where's the fag box? Right on the back of the fag box.
Well, it's not written on the back of the fag box, to be fair. Listen, guys, we will get to it, okay? We have about maybe 7 or 8 minutes. We'll go through the team. As I said in the pre-run, we mentioned some of the highlights and some of the performance of the players and the scores, and mentioned Evan Murphy and the whole lot. Let's go through goalkeeper. I suppose it has evolved. I mean, one of the days it was just stop as many goals as you can, but now you're kind of restarting the game.
It's a huge aspect
to the game. So where do you go with goalie?
Well, this is where it's a bad sign when you start arguing about the goalkeeper.
Very first fell out.
Yeah, I think a lot of lads were going for Conor Bohan. From the start, I went for Diarmuid Quirk.
Two Crokes goalies we went for, so we were thinking about two Crokes goalies.
I just thought Quirk was excellent. I mean, he's a subkeeper for Kerry, and I thought that, of course, I saw him up close against Ballyhike, in all fairness, but I thought he made some fantastic saves, point blank saves. I thought it was absolutely excellent. Yep. Bohan was brilliant as well, and of course, others. But for me, it was Quirk.
Right. A full back line, James. You mean full back line?
We had Jed in the corner.
No, just for the listeners.
Oh, sorry, excuse me.
Okay. For that one person back in Valencia who doesn't know who Jed in the corner is. Yes. Maybe I might tell you who Jed is.
Well, for the Knockery people, they know who Jed is, right? But it's Jed Mansell, yes. Stephen Egan, fullback, and Kyle Connor, the other cornerback. I think they were the standout three, really. In fairness, Jed might have been halfback. Jed fulfilled a number of roles, but I think a couple of men in the matches in the couple of games he played, that's a sure sign. You're in good form. Like as Richard said, maybe we saw the best of Dory in the final, maybe all up along in the games before that. Maybe they weren't firing on all cylinders. Did we see their best performance? They kept it for the final, which you got to do.
Yeah.
But I think Jed Mansell, Stephen Egan, and Kyle Connor, I think that was our three. A few honourable mentions, all right, but I think they were the main three in the full back line, really.
Yeah, fair enough. The half back line, Richard?
Yeah. I've been talking about this man for a long time, and I felt that, you know, we didn't see enough of him in the Kerry jersey, and we should see more of him in the Kerry jersey. I think he's probably one of the most underrated defenders in Kerry, and that's James O'Connor.
I thought you heard James, that was me you were talking about.
No, James, come on, sit down there. Number 16, Evan Murphy. You know, he has really come on, and, you know, as a Kerry defender as well. And number 7, you know, I ask any Ballyhige lads, they'll say this as well, that the outstanding performance of Ronan Donovan. Abby Dorney, yes, he was outstanding as well.
Doing well. On to midfield, James, 8 and 9.
Yeah, we had a couple of lads we were kind of thinking of, but look at it. It was Daniel Leary for Abidoni, really. I think in every game he played, even when they were in trouble against St. Brendan's, I thought he still was getting, he got 3 or 4 points in that game that they needed badly. And in every game after that, he was a powerhouse. Like all the Learys are powerhouses, but himself and Michael really were. And the other fellow thing we had, Colin Welsh, I think, because of the influence he had in Ballyhige in the Crotty game. And he's just, even when they were on a losing docket against Abby Dorney, he seemed to be the one that seemed to be still trying to get things moving, trying to get it forward. Michael Lean was knocking around there too in midfield, maybe wing forward. He could have another fellow he could put in there, but we gave it to Colin. Like, I think Colin and Daniel Leary, nice midfield there, I thought.
Okay, good stuff. Let's get the half forward line.
This was a tough one. It was between the Jacks. We're between Jack Goulding and Jack O'Sullivan. So we gave it Jack Goulding because obviously he's a class player. Great to have him home. Again, a man that was a massive loss to Kerry, but he's just a class hurler. Mm-hmm.
He was playing in London, of course, wasn't he?
Yeah. And scoring for fun, do you know what I mean?
Playing at that level, yeah.
Number 11 was a tough one, so we went for some big fella called Michael O'Leary. So, don't have to say much about him, do we? He was outstanding, brilliant. Absolutely outstanding.
All true.
You know, and there was, you know, he was on everybody's lips, you know what I mean? Michael O'Leary, he's just a, you know, again, against Kerry, I saw him when they were playing at Antrim, when we were promoted away back, and, you know, when he got the ball, like, he was just straight for goal, and that was that, you know what I mean? Number 12, we spoke about him earlier, and probably one of the most exciting young players in the county at the moment, that's Ronan Welsh of Kilmoyle. Absolutely outstanding. Gifted hurler, you know. That's our half forward line.
One Kilmoyle for the game.
Tis
bad when tis a forward. Come here, the full forward line, James.
Yeah, we had Philip Lucid for his scoring exploits for Ballyhige. He really was. I know Philip's not been wrong. He's won a good few years now, and like, he's always been one of the good lads, really one of the top forwards of Ballyhige at all times.
Yeah.
Even when they were losing, as you said, restart, when things weren't good, Philip was still good. And like, we have to put him in there. And at the performance this year, he was very good. Oisín Mansell, full forward, 5 goals. He was nearly like a goal a game guy coming up to it, and even like, he was really was a threat. And you could see the threat he really was when he went on Kyle Connery in the final and he got one-on-one with him. Mm-hmm. He was...
It was some matchup.
The power. That was really county standard matchup there now. You've one of our top defenders, Kyle Connery, we've always said it, against the up-and-coming 21-year-old, 20-year-old Oisín. Like, Oisín is killed with injuries. He's been killed with injuries. And you saw him. He carried mine in footballers only. You could see, you know yourself, you saw him playing like, and you could see...
He was carrying mine as football captain.
He was, exactly. Yeah. And we say he's a better hurler.
Yeah.
So, like, that's really the mark of the man himself, like. And brilliant. And, of course, you can't forget Podge in the corner. Podge was outstanding in the other corner.
Put Podge in the corner,
huh? Podge by, everybody knows him. But Podge, we saw first-hand against us. We couldn't contain him. And that was effectively was the loser of the match for us in the semi-final. So...
Yeah, and of course there were some honorable mentions as well. I mean, who really impressed me was Kieran Dineen from Abidone, the defender, you know, and Tomás O'Connor, Rory Mahoney.
Sure, he's too old now.
Yeah, I don't mind that. But he played in their last final.
Tell him
when he comes in.
Tell him to his face. Jack Sullivan, Shane Nolan, and so Derek Carney, Brandon Barrett, Michael Lean, Daniel Collins, and Conor O'Hare was very impressive.
Isn't it funny we're sitting here and the honourable mentions, you could nearly pick a team out of them.
As good as. It's true. Because teams are beaten in the quarter final, you're kind of saying, Jesus Christ.
So does that lead on to Richard's big bugbear? We have huge quality in this county for a Kerry team.
But you go, Donald, and you pick the squad again now. The new manager coming in, whenever he is, new manager's been picked.
It's not you, James.
He's not in this room.
It's not Davey.
It's not Davey. Davey went to Antrim.
Davey said he didn't want to travel too far.
There's more money in Antrim.
The only place he could have gone further would have been to train the Scottish Shinty team. Do you know what I mean?
But there is talent there, but you look at it now again. It's the gap and the championship, even our own poor lads, the Abidone lads.
So when you say the gap, you mean the lack of hurling. You don't mean gap and standard. You're talking about the fact that they're as fit as they're going to be now, they're as skilled as they want to be now, and they're not going to see a game of action till next February.
And the only team training at the minute will be Abidone.
Yeah.
Every other club team stopped.
Who will end up having to play a team who won a championship the week before,
and they'll be red hot.
Yeah.
But you could control that, you can handle that maybe, but I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be in this situation. We should not be, and we've talked about this myself and Richard. I blew in the face when saying it. Mm-hmm. Take it out of the club's hands. Because the clubs, it's the definition of madness, Donald, doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Stop going back to the clubs. Kick their ass and say, this is what we're doing, and away we go. Get the championship back the way it should be.
There we go, even if that isn't a clip for next week.
No comment.
Quickly, Richard, we'll just go through the team once more before we finish up.
Yeah, so...
Conor Bohan in goal, Abby Dornan. Give the clubs as well.
Stop. I did not say Conor Bohan.
He's writing off our team already.
He's writing off our team. He's changing the team. Mr. Quirk in goals.
Oh,
you went
all right.
Mr. Quirk. Quite
almighty. That was a close one. You're related to you, James, no?
No. Jen Mansell, Stephen Egan.
Yes.
And Kyle O'Connor.
Well done.
James O'Connor, Evan Murphy, and Ronan Donovan.
Yeah.
Colin Welsh and Daniel O'Leary. Jack Goulding, Michael O'Leary, and Ronan Welsh. And Philip Lucid, Oisín Mansell, and Podge Boyle.
Fair play to you. We got through it. You got through it. Now you just have to pass the tunnel of Abbey Door and fill us on the way out and explain things. Listen, guys, thanks very much. It's great, I suppose. It's great fun to have the hurling and the football and the whole lot, but it's great to kind of promote it as well. It's a good championship. We covered a lot of it, the Kerry as well. We'll have you in again. You'll have to defend your Christmas title.
Oh, did we win it?
None of you won it.
I think I lost anyway. I definitely lost.
That's a while away anyway. And we'll have you in, of course, following the Abbey Dorney story as well. And hopefully it continues into Munster and further beyond. And who knows, plenty of good hurlers there. And of course, I suppose the next big story out there as well is the Kerry senior hurling manager. Is he around the corner? Is he around some other corner or whatever corner he is? But he'll be there somewhere meantime. Thought details. Listen, we'll take a quick break. After this, we'll talk to Abbey Dorney.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back, and of course we're talking about the Senior Hurling Championship, and I suppose the roundup and the whole lot. We're delighted to have Abbey Dorney, not all of Abbey Dorney of course, but we have James O'Connor, the captain. Good evening, James. We have Willie Leary, who's after telling me now he's a first cousin of James McCarthy, which can't figure it out.
Sorry for my troubles.
Are you the same side of the family, are
we? Are, yeah.
No, you are. And we have Kieran Dineen. Is he the oldest club hurler in Ireland at this stage?
Well, listen, Abbey Dorney anyway.
Abbey Dorney anyway. And of course, Paddy Dineen as well. And it's fantastic to have you on. And it's great that we're having a bit of a laugh and a banter, because, I mean, I'll start with you, Willie. I mean, a 50-year wait. I mean, people don't understand that. I mean, there's clubs out there that wait 3 years to win a title or win 6 years or 10 years and all that. But 50 years, I mean, how can you keep that tradition going without seeing that winning?
Because you've good club men, you've a great community, you've a great parish. The lads, to look, Paddy came for years there, coming down to the field, helping us out, training teams, carrying young fellas everywhere. Partying the lads, that's what you need in a club, and that's what kept the tradition going.
Mm-hmm.
So we believed in 74, and then this crop of lads came along, and when these crop came along, it didn't just happen last Sunday. It happened for 2 or 3 years before, between county leagues and North Kerry's and all this. These are good lads.
Mm-hmm. You know. And did you see yourselves really getting closer? I mean, at some stage, and it's interesting you talk about the couple of years and you get closer. I mean, you ran Ballyduff close, I suppose, a couple of times in that quarterfinal in 2022. I mean, you scored 3.15 and you were competitive and you were there. Did you see yourselves edging that bit closer to the bigger gang?
We did. We consciously saw us coming closer and closer. But look, it just comes down to a bit of luck.
Mm-hmm.
As in last Sunday, maybe we were the better team, but the ball dropped, we won the breaks. But it comes down to hunger and determination.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing was going to beat the lads last Sunday because they just wanted it so much. Just, you know, everything just fell. Like, if James missed the ball there, Kieran was behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone was picking up everybody. So it's just intensity and hunger.
Yeah.
And when you have that, it's unbelievable to stop.
Kieran, are you close to 20 years playing club?
I am, yeah. I made my debut in 2004.
So you kind of made your debut 2004, young lad, Abby Dorney, bang, you're in the final 2005. You thought, God, this is really easy stuff, was it?
Yeah, exactly. We had a good team that time as well. They're off the back of winning the minor and stuff. So we thought there'd be a good few years in it. Like, you know, maybe we didn't take the last on as much because we thought we'd get back again fairly quick, but that team kind of there were a few lads went to Australia and a few different things happened and stuff, and it kind of separated out and that and kind of fell apart again, and you know, it was a long time building back up again then.
And what's it like going back every February for the last 20 years?
It's tough.
It is tough. And maybe describe how tough is it. Are you talking six or eight fellas at training? Are you talking changing managers every couple of years? Does the structure change? Does the goalpost change? And meanwhile, you're looking at your neighbours across the way and all of a sudden they're getting success and they're maybe moving further ahead. How hard is it physically?
Oh, it's hard, like, you know, but you keep coming back because you love it, like, you know, and the boys around you and that kind of stuff. And it is a hard graph come January, February, especially as you get that bit older as well, it's that bit harder. So I suppose keeping yourself moving and going over the winter is important. I suppose I'd have always done that a bit, so it made it that a little bit easier going back every year. But it is just the buzz of being around the lads, you know, and it's not all about the winning as such. Maybe it's easy to say that once you do win one, but it is just the camaraderie in it, like, you know, and you know you've got 20 lads around you to have your back whenever you need it and stuff like that, you know, and that's what keeps you coming back for it. And if you do, you pick up an injury or you pick up a knock and you're away from it for 3 weeks, it kind of makes you realise that you do like going down there, you do like going onto the pitch and you do like meeting the lads or whatever it is, you know. So that does what keeps you going.
So outside the team, the community builds up, the camaraderie builds up, the friendships build up, and they kind of sometimes maybe even outlast the fact that you don't get to the county final, you don't win the county final, and I suppose all that kind of bounces in together. Something very interesting, Davy Fitzgerald, 1893, David Fitzgerald, 1896, Morris Tracy, 1913, Tony Bean, who was sitting there, 1974, and now Jamesy O'Connor, 2024. They really are rare, aren't they?
They are, yeah. If you're from Abbey Dorney, they're very rare, yeah.
Yeah, but that's five. I mean, we were talking about the culture and what it keeps to coming back. I mean, the amount of players, mentors, volunteers, sandwiches that were made in those 100 years, the times the fields were cut, the flags were out, the scoreboards were up. I mean, it's a massive, massive, massive gap in between. So this has to be so special.
Oh, it is, yeah. Look, there's so many players that went through the club that were a very high standard, and people say you get what you deserve, but there's a lot of players that didn't get what they deserved with Abbey Dorney over the last 50 years, and we're just very lucky, very, very lucky and thankful that we were a team to do it.
Yeah. You were being very modest, of course. You were very lucky and thankful. I mean, you were the farm team of the championship, and I mean, I suppose you set yourselves up to win a championship playing the best. I mean, you end up playing Ballyduff and you beat them fairly squarely and that. Did you know early on during that game that, yeah, you know, we're going well here?
I don't think we did. I think the lads were just so focused on their own individual battle that we just kept chipping away, really. Like, I think maybe at half time we kind of stood back a bit and go, geez, we're up 9 points here. Like, we have to keep this going now. But yeah, I think we just focused on the small little things, really, and rather than looking at the big picture, and it seemed to help.
Did the welcome you get coming off the pitch at half time, did that spur you on? I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, there was a massive crowd there from Abidorny, like, and it really got behind us. We were delighted with the crowd that turned out that day. Yeah.
And Paddy came down from the stand to stand with Joe Wallace and give a few claps in the back as well. Paddy, I mean, I'll be honest with you, before I ever knew it was even hurling in Abidorny, I knew Paddy Dineen was stuck in it and the whole lot. And you've had all your hardships with the county board and all the young Kerry teams have come through. And I suppose you always look out for your own club and the whole lot. But I mean, for you personally, I mean, just as Paddy Dineen, not Paddy Dineen Abidorny or Paddy Dineen Kerry or anything, what does this mean? I mean, you surely had a whole week of celebrating already, or were you crying, or were you...
There's probably more tears I could start again now, but no, it's just serious. I mean, the effort, and as the boy said, like, didn't just yesterday, I mean, going on for years and coming into town every year and going out the road, you know, beating, like, so there's a pile of work goes on. I mean, it didn't just the team, that underage structure is unbelievable over the years, and there's sometimes there weren't many of us there, you know, but we kept trying, telling our teams, and all these lads went through our hands, and we came in. I mean, we won a minor in 99 thinking we were going to be down the road, but again, at least six or seven of that best minor team travelled, you know, the road, and you know, it had to replace five or six of the best of a minor team. We regrouped again and kept going with the young lads, and they kept training, and a lot of good people in the club, like, yeah. You know.
But how easy is it to go back to the well? I mean, God, like, I mean, you everybody in every club has a good team at 12 or 14, you want them, and then next thing, for some reason, it doesn't absolutely happen, but you have to go back and start again. You have to start again and start again. Did you know that moment was going to come this year? Did you see something in this team maybe a year or two out and said, like, you won the county league last year, didn't you? Yeah. I know it's not the same as the championship, but I mean, you get on a rut of winning, and you know, a bit of success follows it.
I suppose, yeah, but as the boy said earlier, like, we always had a few good players, and we were always dreaming that next year's going to be the year, but probably, all right, two or three years out, we did feel that there was a good team coming, like, and over the years there have been a lot, maybe more emphasis put on in Borland Oak. There's Christian and Oak chairman, we have, you know, a good underage structure, which maybe what haven't been there the years, it might be left to three or four different people, but you go down all training on the nines and tens, you could have 10 or 12 people, so like, everybody was putting in a big effort, so last three or four years we probably could see there was, and we had maybe subs and things, a good panel of players, and fellas were putting in, you have to put in the effort too, like, maybe over the years we had great players, but they might never be putting in the same effort that these boys put in, and a lot of these guys were playing football as well, like, so they're putting in a fierce effort and fierce commitment, and those new chairman, new secretary, new manager, you know, it all kind of helps.
Some things just align sometimes, just align, and it works. James, can you remember going down to the field for the first time with Abidorny?
I can, yeah.
Who was in charge? Who was the
well,
was it Paddy? Was it? Oh God, I wish.
Paddy was around there, yeah.
Yeah, but who else was there? Or was Paddy on his own? Was he? Was
no,
he just
you, Timmy Ware and Tom Healy used to be there, and yeah, there used to be loads of people down there that were trying to keep it going, and even though there wasn't much success coming, they. Yeah.
Can you remember your first match? What was it under?
Oh, I don't know, maybe 10? In the 12s, maybe 10s, yeah.
Would you play? Can you remember that?
I can't, no.
You didn't try hard enough if you can't remember who your first team were.
We must have lost that game.
We must have lost that game. But all those players that started out with you, I mean, they obviously don't come through. I mean, everybody, as you said, you take a left turn, you do a bit of travelling, you work. Some people just give it up for different reasons. What does it take for certain players, like Kieran here, you can embarrass him now, to keep going? As in, like, you're looking at him and you're saying, God, is he back again this year? Jesus. Is he ever going to give up? But you need the likes of Kieran Dineen, and clubs need them. What emphasis does that line up?
Yeah, it takes a lot for lads to keep coming back. Even just lads to go travelling, like, everyone seems to be going to Australia at the moment, and lads are dying to see the world, like, and I don't know, for the last two or three years we just seem to keep the players around, and I think maybe the winning the county leagues there kind of built momentum, and it kind of kept lads interested, and they were really important for us, and I think that's how we kept lads around, and I think we thought we were going to make the breakthrough, and thankfully we did. Yeah.
Yeah. God, you're very modest, James, aren't you? If Kilmaine won that now and beat Betty Duff by what, 24 points, you would be celebrating. Oh. Out of all the games and all the county finals you've seen, rate this one.
I think
because you didn't rate him going into the final.
No, I won't say I didn't rate him, but like, I didn't think
you didn't.
What
did
it was
you?
Was they played a bell off the pitch, because their tactics bang on, matchups bang on, whole game plan.
Yeah.
Beloff, if the game was still going on, Beloff wouldn't have beaten him. Yeah. If they're still going on till now, the way they were going, the lads just had a bang on.
Yeah.
At you least can get it so right and so wrong.
Richard gave you some hope because he kind of ended Belly Higgs and he went home kind of feeling first depressed for himself, and then all of a sudden he win the county final. He doesn't feel so depressed anymore. How good was this Abbey Dorney team?
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, after defeating Belly High, you know, people were saying, of course, I don't think people give Abbey Dorney a lot of credit because a lot of talk about the 6 day turnaround and things like that. And I know there was a lot of hype in Ballyhaig as well, and they were, you know, really fired up after defeating Crotty. It was a massive, massive victory, and then we take extra time. But I think after that, then, you know, when they played Abbey Dorney, people said, ah, the 6 day turnaround. But then, you know, were people giving Abbey Dorney enough credit, you know, rather than focus on the 6 day turnaround and how maybe tired maybe Ballyhaig were. But you know, in the final, then, as a man said to me, coming out of Austin Stack Park, is were Ballyhaig that bad after all? And they weren't, because we saw Abbey Dorney replicating that performance in the final. So no, we don't feel as bad now.
He doesn't feel as bad now. Yeah. Before we go to the break, Willie Lear, do you remember 74?
No.
Did people tell you stories of 74? Is there a fella still walking around? Hopefully Tony Bean is still walking around the place, because we had him sitting here, and we had the goalkeeper as well.
Paddy Welsh.
Paddy Welsh. Good evening to you, Paddy. Paddy be delighted with himself.
And Seanie Flaherty.
So...
I wouldn't remember the game at all, Tom.
No.
Just, you know, all the lads that were part of the 74 team that were around all last... You know, still yeah. around. They were all there last week. Just, I hope you do it, because... 74 is what we were living on,
yeah.
And they were sick of it. They yeah. wanted to us be 2024 now,
yeah.
And the new heroes in the village. And that's what they wanted. I was talking to a few of them. That's what they wanted. They just, the past is gone. Now the boys are the future.
Yeah, Kieran, you're not retiring now, obviously.
We'll enjoy this one for now, and then
huh? See you then. Two in a row next year. Can't leave that go. We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk to Abbey Dorney more after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, we're delighted to be here with all the Abbey Dorney crew, James E. Connor, Kieran Dineen, Polly Dineen, and are you William or Willie?
Whatever one.
It was Mr. Chairman to you.
Mr. Chairman Mo. Yeah, absolutely. We'll go with William, so okay, sounds more chairman-y. The inaugural championship. I'm going to ask the historian. Paddy, you've been nominated by the rest of them. Yeah, the chairman nominated you and the players said they were too young. It's kind of interesting because we go back and we talk about the history and the tradition of winning and the whole lot. And I didn't know, of course, that Ballyduff and Abbey Dorney never met in a final. We said that one night here in Terrace Talk, and within about 14 seconds we got a text message in saying they've never played each other, they've never got to a final, they've never played each other, so one of them is going to win that game. But the inaugural championship took place in 1889. There was only five clubs into the championship. Can you name the five clubs? There we go. That's a good one for you now, isn't it?
Kelly.
I'll go one, have a Kilmiley. Guess. Jesus, only about 10 close playing.
Kilmiley.
He says Kilmiley, and he's right.
Dingle.
Dingle, you're wrong. Where did we say Dingle?
Gamecocks.
Go back there. No.
The Gamecocks.
No.
Kinmare.
Well done. Who's the Kinmare?
Ian James,
yeah. One for the captain, yeah. God, he's a smart captain.
He's more than smart, he's good at Hull.
Their neighbours.
Kilgavin.
Ah, now you've three. Yeah. Keep going, guys.
Three Parnells.
Mm-hmm. No. God almighty.
It was...
Will you back yourselves at least, will you?
Abbey Dorney.
You were there at the start, yeah? Oh, thank God, yeah. And who was there to start with you?
Belly Duff, surely.
Absolutely. Belly Duff. And the very first championship game took place on the 10th of March, 1889, when Abbey Dorney played Belly Duff.
In Listowel.
I don't know where it was. It probably didn't finish at all. Who won it?
Abbey Dorney.
1-1 to 1 point. There we go.
Scored by Mike Leary.
Yeah, there was no Oisín Mounsell around anyway. Who won the championship of the five of those clubs? Surely he kept it in Arkery, did you? Between Kilmiley, Abbey Dorney, Belly Duff? What do you reckon, Eds?
That was Abbey Dorney's first one, was it?
No, it wasn't their first one, no. Kinmare won it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And sure, once they discovered how to win it, you went off playing football then, I'd imagine, for the rest of it. When you have that history in the club, and we're having a bit of a laugh, I mean, 1889, I mean, it's a huge, huge history. The younger generation don't get that. They don't understand the tradition, Paddy, and how long it was going on for and the whole lot. But outside in your clubhouse, you obviously have, you know, the pictures of the past and the past teams and the people that put their shoulders to the wheel. When you went back with this, did you have chats and remembered all those fellas that would have loved it and enjoyed it and what they would have talked about it? Or are you just thinking currently?
Oh, no, not really. Well, maybe the young folk were enjoying themselves. Well, us older fellas were thinking of all the people like they would have helped and on the way, you know, which is emotional, really. Like,
it is,
know,
really, so yeah.
Like,
you know, it is, because clubs are built on families. I mean, you know, everybody will look around and say, God, if he was here tonight, he would have loved that, or he certainly would have loved doing it.
I'm a causer, man. I came to Abidone 45 years ago. And like, I would have played with all the 74 team kind of a thing. The Tony Lyons is the Jane behind, you know, Tom Lyons, all these guys, which was, even coming from Causeway, they were famous that time because they played a great game of hurling that time, you know. So from there on, then we were trying to win one. Yeah. After that, and from 80 on, we were trying coaching young lads, the great Tom Healy, you know, and other people like, and as JMD said, when he came down to the field, who was there? Tom Healy, Timmy Ware, and Paddy Dean. And we're still, you know, Tom is gone, myself and Timmy, we were still kind of involved in the club. And then years on, the great Dan Leary came along and helped us out. You know, Dan was involved with a lot of that team at underage level, like, and he, you know, like, so we think of all those guys, of course, and all the other guys as well, like the Tom Lyons and, you know, all the boys. Of course we would, and I'm sure the boys will as well, in fairness. Continue there, I'd say, because I could go, in fairness to the boys, they went down to the graveyard on one of the days, like.
Mm-hmm. And that's important.
Well, that's great, like, keep the whole thing going, like, you know, and think of the people that kind of put them where they are today, really, I suppose, you know. So.
And that's great emotion, because I suppose, in a sense, William, that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about the community. I mean, you wear those colours for a reason. They're the Abidone colours, you know, and is there 10 or 12 minutes between yourselves and Ballyduff? But you're Abidone people, and they're Ballyduff people, and what keeps you apart most of the time is the love of hurling.
This is, but even above there now, for the 2 weeks going up to the final, sure, like, people, businesses, you know, the donations from all the businesses, everyone, it was brilliant. Even our sponsor there, Mike Griffin, outstanding. Anything he could do for us, he was doing it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, it was coming every direction. It was just, everyone was behind what the lads were trying to do.
And do you see that, Jamesy, off the field? I mean, the community closing in together, you're in the quarter final. God, wouldn't it be great to get to the semi final? Next thing, you're in the semi final. God, wouldn't it be great to be in the final? And you're seeing it, and maybe the posters are going up. And I suppose the one thing we're kind of robbed is the schools are missing. You know, it's probably the wrong time of year, otherwise, you'd be going around gathering support. But are you conscious of that? I mean, like, at an elite level, you kind of bubble yourself. But I presume you can't bubble yourself in a small community like that, can you?
No, when we got to the semi-final, you could see a few random flags starting to pop up, and then when we did get to the final, you know, the place just took off. And when you were driving down to training there, every night used to go down, there was more and more every evening, like, and it was brilliant to see, like.
Yeah. Is there a fella stopping on the street asking you, God, who's going well now, and this is how I'd mark the boils, and this is what we should do, and this is how we should put Kieran, and we put him wing back or corner back, or maybe over there at number 26 or whatever it is? But are you getting that advice? I mean, it's all goodwill and bantered, but people feel they want to belong to the club as well, even though they're not playing. But I mean, if you're not playing, the next best thing is supporting your team from the stand.
Oh yeah, like, everyone wanted to win, and everyone wanted to give their advice to help us win, you know, and that's the way it was. And yeah, you'd meet people on the street, and they'd be willing to give their own advice and to make sure we get over the line. Yeah.
Did you get good advice off him?
Definitely. I did, yeah.
Kieran, I mean, what does it mean? I mean, obviously you were there at 05. Talked about 05, that team. I mean, there were wonderful players in that team as well that didn't get over the line. I mean, name some of the names that were the heroes of that time.
Oh yeah, those great players. As I said, they were off the back of winning the 99 minor team, and you'd like to be, you know, and Niall Connell, who are still involved with us, Noah Selectors, and all, it's great for them to be part of it when we do get over the line. And you'd like to say Aidan Healy and Mike Hennepin, who just gave years and years and years of service, you know, and like, they were, and so many of that team is still very closely, there's even a few sons of that team playing now, you know, it's very closely tied to the current team, you know, and it's great to see them. And you know, they got enjoyment out of this win, you know, they were able to buy in and row in behind us. And I suppose before the game, we were trying to like block out the big picture, you know, and we're just having those conversations and training where there's a job to be done, you know, just concentrate on what's to be done, it's only another game. But then after the game is over, you know, it's all about the big picture, you know, and it's all about the enjoyment that everyone's getting from it. And you just see people around the village that you hadn't seen around in a while nearly, you know, and bringing everyone around each other. And you know, that's the joy of it all, isn't it? Like, you know, you just see the happiness it brought to everyone. The Monday in Abidorny was the sense of contentment and happiness around the place.
I heard the homecoming was bigger than the Kerry Lanes, was it?
Can be far off anyway.
Had your own big car park. Yeah. James, what was the last the final whistle like? I mean, obviously we won't talk about going up the steps and getting the cup and raising, but that moment, realising that, Christ, that's the real score, we're going to be the champions, I'm actually the captain. What's that 10-15 seconds like, or do you get to enjoy it, or are you pulled and dragged? I mean, people are out running around, photographs and pictures and slapping your back and everything.
No, there was a few seconds where you got to enjoy it on your own, and then everyone started coming and pointing on top of you, like, but it was relief, I think, more than anything, just to finally get over the line, because we were trying for so long and some of us were running out of time, like, and it was just relief, really.
You don't have to bring Kieran in. He wasn't running out of time.
He's catching up to me in age. So he's not that. He's not a spring chicken either.
Young-looking fella.
The young-looking fella. William, I suppose we're talking about the community and the great support you have and the whole lot. I mean, what will this do for your underage? What will this do for your club? I mean, ye are the champions of Kerry. Nobody else will have that title for the next 12 months. And who's to say you won't have it next year as well? But that will drive everything on another level, I'd imagine.
Even when the lads came home and the homecoming, that was finished. And you know, everyone, we'll say, just went into the pub or whatever. We looked out in the field and there must have been 50, 60 kids out in the field before they got there, pucking ball outside there, straight after the county final. They're just busting. Busted to play underage games now, mad for it, up training. Do you know, the kids are off there during the summer now. So there's piles of them up in the fields every day, cycling down now, wanting to poke ball. It just drives on a club crazy, don't it?
Yeah.
And it is great because, look, the more practice the lads will tell you, I played myself a small bit.
Tell us about the small bit you played. Go on.
Jim, tell you about that.
No, you walked the backyard with me. We played for years.
Out the backyard with me. Did he put you in goal, did he?
No, he did not.
He blistered me.
But you look across, he's your first cousin. He won 8 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, like, jealous. God, you only wanted to win one.
Yeah.
And that boat kind of passed by in that sense. But now you get to enjoy it with this crew, I suppose. I mean, with the family.
Every bit is proud. Yeah. Do you know, not jealous one bit, just great to be part of it. Do you know, these are great lads.
Yeah.
Do you know.
James, can you remember winning your first one?
Yeah. Tell us. Clearly, because that's the only one I do remember.
Okay.
Because that's like, that is the most important one. Yeah. Your first time. There is no other feeling like that.
Yeah.
They realize, as I said it during the week, I was kind of jealous of the feeling the lads have now, because I felt that one time, and you only get that one time.
You can't replicate that with
never,
second and third.
Ever again, no matter what you do in hurling circles, you can't do that again. This is something you will only have for this small little period of time, and then it's taken you again. But the lads talking about Abidori hurlers, I can name 3 lads who played with me: Tom Connell, Tony Mansell, and A. Neely. 3 of the best hurlers that played with Kerry with me, never to win a county medal. Unbelievable, man. And Aidan Healy used to gas carrot, like, he was back at our house as well. Another man that played hurling out the backyard for us. But like, that's the kind of, those guys, like, great warriors. Like, and he was as high as anyone. He was around the last in the field. Like, he was probably out the field with the kids, that young for like. Like, it's unbelievable for those lads that it's so hard. And James said it best in his speech: you came out before with your head down. Abidorny men last Sunday could put their chest out, colours out, and walk up with their heads held high, walk out that field as champions. Because I knew that feeling too for a long, long time. We came out town after one match with our tails between our legs a lot of times. You know, Richard, you were a good team that time, but you were a good team. There's beat us and drive us out the road. It can be very, very hard. And James, he said it best last Sunday, brilliant speech. He said, now the Abidorny people can put heads high and walk out with their chest out, proud. Abidorny won the championship. Brilliant.
And of course, the result of that, James, is you're to be shot down now straight away by the rest of them, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. No, we're the ones in the shop window now. Yeah. We're the ones we got.
First round of the championship next year, Crotta. Followed by Ballyduff.
They'd be Crotta. They said they'd be Crotta.
Come here to me, Richard, before we finish, and I don't want to end on a very somber note, but Tralee Parnells, who kind of took a hiatus in and out, 104 years waiting. Kinmare, 1942 was their last one. 80 years waiting. Kilgarvan, 1958, 65 years waiting. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
I suppose so.
Yeah, Crotta have ticked their box with their long wait. You're off the list now as well. You've only 1 year wait now for next year. Very high. 2000. I thought it was even further than that. 23 year wait. So that's only. That's
Sure, yeah.
That's only nothing.
You're taking your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I suppose
you know, we have a good team coming up, and you know, even the performance against Abbey Donny there, I suppose, didn't define that team, as we know, like, that there is quality in that team. But as Abbey Donny showed in the semi-final and the final, they're a serious team. And all through the year, people were talking about the Abbey Donny forwards, but oh, Michael O'Leary and Oisín Manson, but I always said about the quality of the defence that Abbey Donny had. You know, you might be able to try and hold O'Leary and Mansell, but try and get them back down the other end to score with these guys, that was a problem. You know, so, yeah, you know, look, we're very positive with regards to the future. I think we have a very good young team, and they will have learned from this year's campaign, and we hope they'll bounce back, and I'm sure they will.
James will be very high with it next year.
Our new councillor, he said they're going to win. They won't be far off it. They'll be very close to it. Tell
see, the way it goes here is if James writes somebody's off,
you're definitely a winner. They're going to win next year. Okay, they're not
going to
win it.
They're not going to win it. Very high to be here next year. James, it'd be nice to be back next year again, would it?
Oh, would ya?
Like, we have about 60 seconds left. I mean, the amount of work to win one, how much work to win a second one?
Probably takes more, to be honest, because you are the one that's been hunted now, and yeah, so everyone will be raising their game to play us, so yeah, it's going to be harder next year. Yeah, definitely.
Final word, Paddy.
Just put on my county board hat, I'd like to thank all the clubs, in fairness, for the great championship, great effort put in by all the clubs, a pleasure to deal with all the clubs, especially a great pleasure to have it on
Chairman Willie, yeah.
All the clubs that put in a great effort, a great atmosphere in the Hurling Championship, and I hope that all the players out there will join the Kerry County team next year, and we look forward to a good year with the Kerry Hurling.
You'll have no team next year, about 19 Abbey Dorney fills in the Kerry team, will you?
Won't it be lovely to have an Abbey Dorney man captain this?
Oh! Whoa! Well, fair play to you, you're definitely James McCarthy's first cousin.
He's dead right,
Would it be a nice problem to have? Would it be a nice problem to have?
Well, you'll have to nominate one anyway.
We'll find one.
Well, hopefully you do, you'll find a couple more as well, because it's a great problem to have. Listen, congratulations, lads, it was fantastic to have you on this evening. It's great to get an insight into winning a county championship, football or hurling, whatever it is, and I suppose particularly when you're 50 years waiting in it, it's fantastic. Thanks for your emotion tonight, Paddy. Fair play to you. Normally you're waving and supporting. And James, thanks. Great speech. Kier, next year again? I suppose you have a 5-year contract, have you?
I have a contract, yeah.
You won't be voted out. And James and Richard, you can now leave on the leave by the back door, actually, because you know he didn't pick Debbie Dorney goalkeeper, so the boys will sort you out afterwards. Big thanks to Keen and big thanks to Ivan. Up next is my good Galway friend Mary. No look in the camogie, Mary. No look in the ladies, no look in the men's, no look in the hurling, huh? But you'll have loads of look after 8 o'clock because we have fantastic music coming up, and that's Talks Us with Mary Connery. We'll do it all again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.